Well, welcome back, everyone, to Talking Asset Management with KPMG. This is our credit lending mini-series that we spend about 5 to 6 minutes talking about specific issues, really fundamental and really foundational issues that we think are important for people to know. Joining me today is one of my partners, Ashley Hall, and one of our directors in our Washington National Tax Practice, Paul Kunkel. And today we're going to talk about significant modifications. So, Paul, in brevity, what is a significant modification?
Thanks, Pat. First, we should talk about what is a modification. A modification is any change to the terms, the rights and obligations of the parties to a debt instrument. Just having a modification does not necessarily have tax consequences, but if the modification rises to the level of being significant as defined in the regulations, then there are definite tax consequences for both the creditor and the borrower. The tests for significance are depending upon what kind of change is made. I should note that having a significant modification does not necessarily follow the financial accounting rules for saying when debt is extinguished. But if you do have a significant modification, what happens is that the old debt instrument, the pre-modification debt, is treated as being retired or exchanged for the newly modified instrument. So there are special rules and regulations for certain common kinds of modifications, like change in yield, change in timing and payments. Payments, for example, in a workout situation, payments might be deferred. Change in collateral, even change in borrowers or guarantors. So if a modification is significant from the creditor side, for example, an offshore fund that holds debt which is being significantly modified, the holder is deemed to have exchanged the old debt for new debt in a taxable exchange. So generally, the creditor then can recognize gain or loss, but sometimes the gain or loss is deferred. If a modification does not fall within a certain list of specified tests, then there's a general economic significance test that's applied. It's one of those all facts and circumstances tests for which there's no real guidance. So in that case, you're kind of left to make your own decision as to whether you think for modification purposes you've had a deemed exchange or not.
So really what we're saying is, given all the complexities that are here, that if there's any change in the debt instrument, you should at least go through the rules to make sure it's not a significant mod. Ashley, think about this from a client perspective now. Why should credit funds be concerned about this?
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Two major issues come to mind when I hear modification, and especially significant modification. The first is there going to be tax due where there was no cash, or where maybe books doesn't recognize the transaction as a realized event, but tax does. So funds generally try not to have phantom income, is what we call, where we're recognizing taxable income and it's not in line with books and or it's not in line with cash that they receive. Second big issue that comes to mind when I hear modifications, significant modifications, is what am I getting in return? Is it also debt, or is it debt and something else? Is the fund going to own an equity interest or warrant or some other type of instrument or asset as a result of this transaction? That could have a lot of impact related to foreign investors, tax-exempt investors, and other reliances that the funds have on the strategy of holding true debt so it's beneficial to the investors. So those are the two questions that immediately come to mind when we talk about modifications.
Oh, that's great, Ashley. And also that phantom income can cause problems in your waterfalls and all of a sudden dry income being allocated to carry. So I was going to wrap this up, but then I thought about something else. I know we're probably a little bit over our five-minute requirement here, but Paul, just real quick, sig mods, sometimes there's certain facts that allow them not to necessarily be taxable.
Right. Probably the most important and very common situation is where the debt that's being modified is a so-called security, which is issued by a corporation. So if there's a sig mod, significant modification of a corporate security, there are special rules that apply which say that loss as calculated for tax purposes can't be recognized at that time. So the loss might be deferred or perhaps even lost completely, depending on what happens in the future. So what is a corporate security? Unfortunately, as important as this rule is, there is no strict definition in the code or the regulations. It's kind of left to case law. And one of the most important factors in the case law for determining whether a debt instrument issued by corporations is a security or not is the maturity or the term of the debt. For example, how long is the state of maturity? Is it a 1-year note, a 5-year note, 10-year, 30, or whatever? And sort of the rule of thumb that people often apply is that if the term was less than 5 years, it's not a security. Between 5 and 7 or 5 and 10, that's a gray area. If the maturity was greater than 10 years, people usually treat it as a security.
Perfect. Well, thank you both for your time. We appreciate everyone else joining us on this call, and we look forward to you joining us on our next podcast. Take care, everyone. Thank you, guys.